Some of you may remember a song by the singer-songwriter Cat Stevens, back when he was still Cat Stevens, with the title Father and Son. The song is a dialogue between a father and son representing two different generations, and it is sung in two different voices. Now, don't be alarmed, we're not going to sing it. When Pastor Deb contacted us to see if one of us might be interested in leading the services today while she's on her way to annual conference, we decided to try to do something jointly. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I'm not sure we feel the same way right now. But our meditation on this Father's Day morning will be a dialogue featuring a father and a son. In case it's not clear, I'm the father. The origins of Father's Day are far from clear. Some historians trace the holiday back to European Roman Catholic celebrations of the feast day of Saint Joseph, husband of Mary and the earthly father of Jesus. That feast day was March the 19th, and it became a celebration of fatherhood. In America, the holiday is a little over 100 years old. And there are at least three claims to the origins of Father's Day in this country, although there is apparently no Father's Day equivalent of the first Thanksgiving at Berkeley Plantation. Two of the earliest celebrations of Father's Day have ties to the United Methodist Church. In 1908, in Fairmont, West Virginia, a young girl who had lost her father in a mining disaster the previous year, a disaster that killed 361 miners, 250 of them fathers, suggested to her pastor at what is now Central United Methodist Church that he use his sermon to honor fathers. That was on July 5th of that year, and it didn't catch on because there was far more attention to celebrating July 4th and because it wasn't publicized, marketed, or branded. In 1910, a group of churches in Spokane, Washington, banded together with each pastor doing a father-related sermon. And in 1912, a United Methodist Church in Vancouver, Washington, believing it was the first, held a Father's Day celebration. As early as 1916, there were attempts to make Father's Day a national holiday, but Congress resisted because of fears the day would become commercialized. Thankfully, for everyone who sells ties, those objections were eventually overcome. Father's Day became an official holiday 60 years ago in 1957.
There's a joke I once heard about Jesus and Moses playing a round of golf. They're playing on a hole with a huge water hazard. Moses tees up his ball and shanks it right into the water. Without missing a beat, he walks down to the water, parts the water, and hits his ball up onto the green. Jesus takes his shot, also shanks it into the water, and then walks across the water and makes a spectacular shot up onto the green. As they're chatting about the hole, an old man steps up to the tee, and he also shanks his ball into the water. The ball is immediately swallowed up by a fish that jumps out of the water, gets scooped up by a bird, who flies over the green and drops the ball directly into the hole. Without missing a beat, Moses says to Jesus, "I hate it when we play golf with your dad." Fatherhood is something that the Bible treats with a great deal of respect. One of the more famous examples is our Old Testament passage from today. We have Abram, who is a prodigious servant of God. When he is 75 years old, God tells Abram to take his family and to leave their homeland. Abram follows God's command, and for his faithfulness, God promises Abram that he will be the father of a whole nation, and that they will inherit the land. After many adventures and trials, Abram is still childless. So Sarai, Abram's wife, sends Hagar, her serving girl, to have a child with Abram, so that he would have an heir. Even though Abram and Sarai are faithful, they don't trust that God will provide them with an heir in their old age. So we find ourselves in today's scripture, where God reaffirms his covenant with Abram and Sarai to have a child. Abram's reward for his faithfulness is fatherhood. This is such a significant action that Abram and Sarai change their names to Abraham and Sarah. This story is also the basis for all three of the mainstream Western religions: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity.
Shelley will tell you that it takes a lot to get me excited, truly excited. I prefer to think that makes me stoic, but it may make me emotionally stunted in some way. It's only happened a few times. There was a time a number of years ago when we were on a cross-country trip and stopped in Hollywood, got into a line we thought was for a tour of NBC Studios, only to end up sitting in the second row of the audience for The Tonight Show on a night that David Letterman was the guest host. There was the first time I had a magazine article I wrote published, but nothing compares to the excitement I felt when I became a father. There's nothing I have wanted more in this life than to be a good father. I think I've done the best I could, and I also think it's not good enough. Both of my children have learned, as do we all, that their father was a human being with strengths and weaknesses, sometimes fun, sometimes tired and grumpy, sometimes possessing what JD used to call my mad look. On Wednesday, I drove up to Baltimore to see my father. He's 89 and remarkable, still living on his own, still driving, still active. We have a better relationship now than we ever had when I was growing up. I wanted a different relationship with my kids, and JD and I have always been close. And in fact, I don't ever remember us quarreling. He can correct me if I'm mistaken about that. One of the things I've always appreciated is that JD puts up with me telling parents at St. Christopher's stories about his journey to adulthood, and I hope he'll indulge me here as well. When JD was born, I was working in Newport News and commuting daily. That ended after Shelley told me one night that he stood at the door to our Florida room waiting for me to come home on a night that I was actually staying down there. I remember the first time he grabbed my finger and wanted me to come on the porch to play with him, except that he didn't want me to play, but to watch him play. That's not to say there weren't moments early on when I had doubts about our relationship. When JD was 8 months old, he woke up one night crying, something he almost never did. That normally would not have been an issue, but it was in the middle of a World Series game, and not just any World Series game. While I went back to check on him and get him back to sleep, my favorite baseball team, the New York Mets, went from 3 runs behind and 1 strike away from losing the series to winning the game with one of the greatest comebacks in baseball history. I missed it all and didn't see replays for years. So was that coincidence or was that deliberate? The first time JD ever made pretend dinner for us, he told Shelley he was fixing her hot dogs, whereas he told me he was serving me, quote, the cheese stuff that makes you die, unquote. I also remember a children's concert we went to one afternoon at the Carpenter Center. JD sat on my lap so he could see better, and while everybody was singing the Itsy Bitsy Spider, he leaned over and gave me a headbutt so hard I thought I had a concussion. By the time he was 3, it was already clear that JD possessed more mechanical ability than I have ever had. And not long after, I realized that his faith was deeper than mine. We started coming to Ramsey largely because JD wanted to go to Sunday school with Miss Pat. And his involvement with the youth group here and with the voices of youth were important in his personal and spiritual growth, leading him to go to Duke for Divinity School after college. For the past 5 years, I have been blessed in a way I could never have imagined to have him as a faculty colleague at St. Christopher's. He is both a talented young professional and one of my closest friends. Being a father and having a relationship with my children has helped me better understand our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. On this Father's Day, we should celebrate not only our earthly fathers, but our Heavenly Father as well. Of course, every day should be our Heavenly Father's day. But where does our understanding of God as Father come from?
Last week, Pastor Deb preached about the Trinity. As Christians, we believe that our one God consists of three persons. It is notable that one of the three persons of God is known as Father. As Pastor Deb pointed out, the naming of God as Father has nothing to do with gender. God is neither male nor female, and in many ways, God is mother as well as father to humanity.